Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 194 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some boys golf today. Later on, I'll be visiting with Ankeny coach Mike Weddingfeld and one of his top players. We'll also have a special guest from Coldwell Banker on. But right now, my first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial squad. He has guided the ninth-ranked Jaguars to a 3-3 dual record thus far in the new CIML conference. He is Rick Fee. Rick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How about yourself?
I am doing all right. Well, I know you missed the last two meets due to an illness. Are you feeling better today?
I am, yeah. That was an unfortunate circumstance, but I'm happy to rejoin the team tomorrow when we go to Legacy and Waukee Northwest invite.
Well, your team is probably feeling better as well after yesterday's meet. You guys placed fourth in the Joslin Invitational at the Fort Dodge Country Club with a 303 total. You finished six strokes ahead of Ankeny just one day after losing to the Hawks by 16 shots. You know, you had to be happy with those results.
Absolutely. It kind of was a gut punch when I told the boys if you can shoot 300 or so, you always earn the right to compete in any event. And you go out and shoot 300 at Otter Creek, and they fire a 284 and get you by 16 shots or four shots a man that you're keeping score from. And so that was a little tough to take in, but it was their home course and they played well that day. And luckily we were able to go back the next day and shoot something around the 300 number and then compete at a different course against a bunch of other teams who were playing on a neutral site. So that was nice to see.
Well, senior Lawson Hackmeister led the way for you guys yesterday. He placed fourth with a one over par 72. He currently leads your team, and he ranks 17th in the state with a 37.28 average. You know, he's just been real consistent, and that's what you need from your number one guy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like we said earlier in the year, the nickname for him is going to be the grinder, because you could see him after four or five holes, and he could be three or four over, and then you see him five or six holes later, he's got it back down to even or one over. So there's a lot of fight in the kid, and he never gives up on the round, and that means a lot for himself and as well for his team, because they know that they can never count him out of posting a score that we're going to use.
We guys opened the season on August 15th with a runner-up finish in the Jesse Peck Invitational at Briarwood, where you finished six shots behind Southeast Polk. You know, this guy sitting right here with us, Danny Paulson, led the way for your team in that meet. He placed a seventh with a 76, and he currently ranks second on your team with a 38.28 average. You know, so he's another senior that has really stepped up, hasn't he?
Absolutely. We're very heavy when it comes to seniors and upperclassmen in general. I've got, out of my top six, I got five seniors and a junior in Mr. Hoffman. So our experience and our years of knowledge with the game and being able to learn from mistakes in previous years has really helped this team upperclassmen-wise play well and play well together.
Well, a week later, your team was able to avenge that loss to Southeast Polk. You beat both the Rams and Valley in a triangular meet at Copper Creek, where the three teams were separated by just five strokes. And on that day, you had two different guys lead the way for you, as Cal Johnson earned medalist honors with a 75, and Zach Hoffman took fourth overall with a 77. You know, so even though Lawson is your number one guy, your team is showing that it can have other guys step up to lead the way as well.
Yes, you need someone who's going to be able to go out and post a solid score right around par or so, and that's going to be your one, and right now that's Lawson for us, because day in and day out he's going to be the guy we expect to go low, but every other person on the team knows their place and knows that we depend on them to post a score that can be used day in and day out. So there's never any days off, and with the talent that we play against day in and day out, it's going to be all hands on deck, and everyone's going to be ready to post a score.
Well, six of the top 10 teams in Class 4A are from your new conference, led by number 2 Johnston and number 3 Waukee Northwest. Now, you've already seen Northwest twice. They won the triangular meet at the Legacy by 23 shots on August 17th. And then yesterday, they won the Fort Dodge tournament by three strokes over their crosstown rival. You know, so they're going to be tough to beat this year, aren't they?
Yes, they're very senior heavy. They have a lot of upperclassmen with their grade. So there's a lot of separation between schools that are younger and schools that are older this year, and you can really tell when you look at the rankings who is senior heavy and who is still have people coming up.
Well, I don't think you've seen Johnston yet. Will we see them before the triangular meet on September 14th at Briarwood?
Yeah, we should have a couple invites with them. I believe they're going to Vinker and Ames's invite, and they might be at Otter Creek for Ankeny's invite as well.
All right. Well, speaking of Ankeny, they're ranked fourth right now behind the Northwest. You know, and they certainly showed on Monday what they're capable of, you know, shooting a school record 284 in that triangular at Otter Creek. You know, how surprised were you when you saw those results?
Well, I knew that they were good, but I just didn't see 284 coming up as a number. That's really low. I haven't seen anybody shoot 284 in my experience this last couple of years in a while. And Otter's not an easy course, but if it's a course that you play in, day out, and you know where the breaks are, you know where the ball's going to bounce, it does give you a competitive advantage. But no matter where you go, 284 is a good number. Anything sub 300 is a good number. And I text Mike that night and said, that's a great round out of you guys today. And he answered back with, well, you guys weren't too shabby either with a 300. And that's where I kind of laughed at that, knowing that we did shoot well, but we were still so far off to catch them.
Well, your team will head back to the Legacy tomorrow for the Northwest Invitational. You guys shot a 313 there 2 weeks ago, so I'm sure you're hoping to improve that score by a bunch of strokes, aren't you?
Yes, for sure. We talked after that round. It's a course that we don't play a whole lot as far as the way the greens are designed and the way the golf course is. There's a lot more trouble to get into than Briarwood. The greens are a lot more undulated. There's a lot more break and putts, with being uphill or downhill, that we're not really used to from playing flatter greens most of the time. So I think the guys that are going back are going to look back at the previous round and see where we got on the wrong side of the hole and places we know we can't miss when we go there again.
The conference meet will be held on September 28th at Willow Creek. And, you know, that's almost going to be like a mini state meet with all the great teams in your new league.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see what everyone's ranked at the end of the season. It might be a little mini district tournament there with the talent that's going to be in one place at Willow Creek.
Well, I know you guys don't know yet where you'll be headed for the district meet, but from what you've seen, you know, from your team thus far, do you feel like this is a team that, you know, has a good chance to get to state?
I do, depending on our draw. I mean, golf's a game where it changes day in and day out, and you could have a great day one day and you can have a horrible day the next day, and there's nothing you can really do about it except grab the stick, hit the ball, and try to put it in the hole as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So we just have to be on our game at the best of our ability and peaking at the right time. We put a good score together, depending on the district we're in, with the talent that we have to beat that day. Anything's possible, but coming down to the draw that we get, the course that we get, and who's going to be with us in districts is going to play a huge part in that.
Yeah, because in golf, you can't play defense. If you get sent to a district with three really good teams and they have a good day, I mean, there's not much you can do about that, is there?
No, last year having seven of the top 13 teams in the state in our district, and obviously only three go, so there's going to be an odd person out, and we happen to be team number four, so it didn't work out for us there. But everyone can look back and realize that we had one player play really, really well and no one else broke 80. And you can look at that as saying, well, that's the thing that broke our back. If everybody shoots one stroke better, we go from fourth to second. So every stroke counts. The boys are learning that and understanding that day in and day out. And we know that towards the end of the year, that can be more true.
Well, the state meet will be held on October 7th and 8th at Elmcrest Country Club in Cedar Rapids. So I don't imagine, you know, too many of your guys have played that course. In fact, Lawson told me that he hasn't played it. So I assume some of your guys are going to try to get over there and play a practice round at some point, aren't they?
Yeah, we need to get over there and look at the golf course. The last time they had state there is when we finished second in 2015. So we have a history there, so it would be nice to get back to represent Centennial and Ankeny in general and see if we could post a good score.
Well, Cedar Falls is the defending champ, and they're currently ranked at number one. They also have the top two players in the individual rankings, Owen Sawyer and Max Joa, I believe is how you pronounce it. Do you think, you know, they'd have to be the favorite to win state right now until somebody else proves otherwise?
You have to believe so. They didn't lose a single person from their team last year, and they played really well. State was at their home course last year, so that also, again, plays a huge part in it. But when you don't lose state, when you win state, don't lose a single person from your roster. Obviously, that's like winning the World Series and not trading any players away. So it's definitely a good way for them to grow, and they don't really have to replace any parts, which everybody else has seemed to have to do.
All right, Rick. Well, hey, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior on the Jaguars squad and one of the team's top players. He currently ranks 36th in the state with his 38.28 average. He's Danny Paulson. Danny, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on a successful season thus far. You know, have you been happy with the way that you've played?
I have, yeah. I started the season off pretty good. Last two meets, all right, but we're hoping to get lower.
Well, you didn't have much varsity experience coming into this season, but after last year's team lost some key seniors, did you expect to be able to step into the lineup and become one of the key players this fall?
Yeah. I mean, I like playing on varsity. I think it's fun, and I like all the characters on the team, especially Lawson.
Lawson, yeah, and his colorful socks, huh?
He's something else for sure.
Well, I mentioned to Coach how you shot a 76 to lead your team in that season-opening Jesse Peck Invitational. Did that round do a lot for your confidence?
Yeah, I played pretty good that day. I really liked the course, Briarwood, and having Jesse Peck Invitational out there is pretty fun.
Well, you follow that up with the 78 and the Triangular meet at the Legacy, and of course you guys will head back there tomorrow for the Northwest Invitational. What's the key to having success on that course, and do you think, you know, you can shoot better tomorrow?
Yeah, I'd say putting 100%. As coach said earlier, the greens are more undulated than Briarwood and Otter Creek, which I work at Otter Creek, so I know the course pretty well. But I think putting for sure, and I think we can do good tomorrow.
Well, you also shot a pair of 78s this week, first in the Triangular meet at Otter, and then yesterday in the Fort Dodge tournament. You know, I guess your worst round of the season came in the Triangular at Copper Creek, where you shot an 81, but your score still counted towards your team's victories over Southeast Polk and Valley. Was that course just playing pretty tough that day?
Yeah, that course is pretty tight out there, especially if you're above the hole. Putting is pretty tough, and same with where we played yesterday. Yeah, you just got to be below the hole to make sure you can make some putts.
Well, on Monday's meet at Otter, I believe you were playing in the second group with Ankeny's Avon Legg, who shot a 72. And that was only the Hawks' third best score that day, because Drew Henson had a 68 and Duncan Bilner shot a 70. You know, sort of, what did you think of Ankeny's performance that day? Did you even think they were capable of shooting a 284?
You know, I've been friends with Avon for a long time. He's a pretty good player. I did not think 284, because that was, I think that was their school record out of Otter Creek. That's a really good score. I thought we were going to be pretty close with our 300, but 284 is really good.
Well, it had to feel good to turn right around yesterday, you know, and beat the Hawks by 6 strokes. It seems like there's a lot of parity in your conference this season, because you also had that loss to Southeast Polk that you avenged the following week. Do you feel like when it comes to the top teams that, you know, they can all kind of beat up on each other on any given day?
Yeah, any given day, we can have 4 low scores and then beat the Hawks, which always makes it better than any other team, I'd say.
Well, what are your goals for the rest of the season? Do you feel like, you know, this team could contend at the conference meet? And I'm sure your ultimate goal is to qualify for state, right?
For sure, for sure. I think on any given day, we could shoot 4 low scores, and if 2 don't shoot low, then we have the other 4. So,
well, I know the 4 district sites have been announced, but you don't know yet where your team will be playing. Only one of the district sites is local, and that's a blank golf course in Des Moines. Now, would you prefer to play at that site, or does it matter to you? I'm guessing maybe you haven't played those other courses, have you?
I have not. I played blank. I played, they have a tournament out there over the summer. I played in that. I really do like blank. Blank's a pretty fun course. So.
And what about the state meet course over there at Elmcrest? Have you ever played there?
Never played there. Hoping to get a practice round in at least.
All right. Well, looking ahead to the future, are you planning to play in college, or would you like to?
I'm looking at GCU right now down in Phoenix. They are D1, but they do have a club team, which I'm pretty interested in. I think I'm going to do that.
All right, Danny. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, joining me right now is one of the realtors at Coldwell Banker Mid-America, and she has been on the guest on the podcast a few times before. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, this is the first time we've been in our new office here together. You know, this is a pretty nice setup, isn't it?
I think it's pretty spectacular. I don't know if I'm excited about this new building going in across the street, so... Either way, excited to be near the interstate, accessible, obviously, to the western suburbs, Ames community, but again, just a fresh location.
Yeah, I think my wife's looking forward to that Costco. I don't think I'm going to tell her when it's going to open.
<Me
so.
either>.
Well, I don't think you've been on the podcast since April, so it's been a few months since the last time I talked to you. You know, what, if anything, has changed in the housing market over the summer?
You know what? We have been blessed. We've continued to navigate ever-changing pricing, increase in interest rates, and have enjoyed the luxury of having land available for our custom build homes. So really, we haven't changed much with what we're doing. Obviously, we still have people coming to us, still interested in engaging and building a beautiful home with us.
Now, where's the interest rate right now? Is it still above 5%?
Yeah, we're slightly above 5%, which kind of made people pause a little bit. However, we're starting to see more and more people come out of the woodwork with their cash purchasing, even in the higher price points. So, I think people are adjusting accordingly, but real estate's still a great investment, regardless of what we're seeing.
Speaking of people coming at you with their cash, you know, now with President Biden enacting, you know, the student loan forgiveness program, do you think that will have much of an effect on the market? You know, I was just curious if there might be more people, you know, who all of a sudden have some money that was supposed to go to paying off their debt, you know, who would now be able to use it for something else, you know, such as a down payment on a house.
To see. I know I put my debt off, of course, but I know that affects people's buying power. I know they've made some adjustments regarding the amount of loan debt, how that affects your purchasing power too. But yeah, I think we might see some more people able to, you know, get in and begin their investment.
What touch basically before today, you know, was there any specific properties you want to talk about today?
No, I guess getting to Centennial States, Northwest Ankeny is catching up with some of the other parts of Ankeny. We've got beautiful home sites available, everything from flat lots to walkouts, which, you know, there's been a need in the market for those. So yeah, we're getting ready to unveil plat 3 here shortly, pricing between $80,000 and $120,000 for those walkouts, but still have a few lots left in the Prairie Trail area, and very affordable at that, you know, low or mid 40s to $50,000 for lots too, which is unheard of. So planning for our winter inventory as well. So if you're in the market for building and closing in the spring, I mean, now's the planning time.
To get a hold of you, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Reach me at the Coldwell Banker office or on email rhonda.dix@cbdsm.com.
She sold my wife and I our first house about 23 years ago. Did a great job. So yeah, if you got anybody's interested, they can get a hold of you. Well, Rhonda, of course, the college football season's getting underway here this weekend with, you know, Iowa and Iowa State both hosting their season openers.
Yes.
And then next week we'll have the Cy Hawk game. Are you much of a football fan?
I'm a diehard Husker.
Oh boy. What's your view of the Nebraska coach? Do you think he's going to be around much longer?
You know, people want results, expect immediate results, but hard to duplicate the 70s and the 90s of the Husker era. So yeah, we'll see. I do like Scott Frost, but you know, I'm sure there's somebody standing in line.
I thought he'd win big there. I heard a crazy stat the other day. Maybe you heard this too, but he could win his next 50 games and his record still wouldn't be as good as Bo Pelini, who, of course, they fired because he didn't win enough.
So excited to kick off that season. Going to be a Centennial Jaguar, of course. So
sure.
Anyway.
All right, Rhonda. Well, hey, thanks for coming today. I appreciate it.
Right.
We'll have you on again.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the fourth-ranked Ankeny team, and he has guided the Hawks to a 2-1 record thus far in the CIML Conference. He is Mike Wedingfeld. Mike, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys are only 3 meets into the season, but you have to be really happy, you know, with what you've seen thus far. It's been a good start, hasn't it?
It has. You know, we're coming off of a, I guess, record-setting, you could say, Monday when we had the triangular against Centennial and Urbandale, and kids played awesome. You know, for when I say record setting, I think it's the best 18-hole score we've had on the new Otter since mm-hmm. it switched over to its new layout. But you know, anytime you can go to any golf course and have 4 guys shoot basically even par over the 4 scores, that's great. So it was great to start off, and then we were at Fort Dodge yesterday. Didn't shoot 284, shot 309, but different course. 3 of the 6 guys had never seen it before. You know, fourth day of golf for some of them, with some of the guys playing in Briarwood Am over the weekend. So I was happy with our performance. You know, 5th out of 17 teams up there, there's nothing wrong with that. So
we'll break down each of those meets that you talked about. But first, let's talk about the season opener. You guys opened up on August 18th with a dual meet against Southeast Polk at Otter Creek, and you lost that one by 3 strokes, 299 to 302. And, you know, and then you had more than a week off before the next meet on Monday, which, like you talked about, you guys hosted the triangular against Centennial and Urbandale. You know, and what a meet that was. You shot that even par, 284. You know, going into the meet, I mean, did you ever imagine that your team was capable of posting a score like that?
Truthfully, no, it never crossed my mind. I mean, I know watching these guys play and seeing scores over the summer, I know Drew can go low. Some of the other guys, you know, like I said, I've got Duncan's a sophomore, Evan's a sophomore. So I really didn't know what to expect from them. I've seen them playing over the summer just for fun, you know, and that's a lot different than when you're playing for your school. So I knew they could hit the ball and play, but to go out there and play as well as they have. Avon, you know, he's been around for a few years. I know he's capable of shooting those good scores as well, and he's stepping up. And same way with Jacob Adams. So, you know, it was nice to see early in the season what we're capable of, so we know what we can work for, what we can possibly do if we, you know, keep our head in the game. I'd hate to be moving along going, I wish, but now we know, hey, we can do this. Mm-hmm. We just got to keep at it and keep working hard.
Well, the guy sitting here with us, Drew Henson, led the way on Monday. He shot a 300 par 68 to earn medalist honors. And I know Drew had shot a 68 during tryouts a couple of weeks ago, so I'm sure you weren't surprised by his score, you know, because you're kind of expecting him to lead the way this year, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. He, for just being a junior, he's a great leader for us. He's stepped up not only with the scores that he shoots, but just, you know, taking the younger kids under his wing. He's set up some practice rounds on some of the courses that we play and taking those guys over to play just so they're familiar with it. He, you know, takes care of the coolers for us and packs all the snacks and stuff at home and brings them every day. So there's a lot more to Drew than just his being a really good golfer. So he takes it serious and works hard, and I know he wants to do something beyond high school and college with it. So he's a guy I can count on, and for a junior, he's probably our number one leader that we have.
Well, certainly a team effort that day, though, because you had five really good scores. You talked about some of those guys. You got a 70 from the sophomore, Duncan Bielner. Avon shot a 72. Jacob Adams had a 74. And Evan Hodapp added a 78. And obviously playing on your home course helped. And I know you told me that the players were allowed to pick clean and place their balls because of the rain. You know, that had to help as well.
It does. I mean, you don't have a bad lie that way, rough or fairway. The bunkers were full of water. Otter does a great job watering, so that 3 inches of rain over the weekend is what really put us over the edge. Mm-hmm. So we didn't play bunkers, so it took some, I think, saved some shots, but it saved them for everybody, too. I mean, you still got to hit fairways, hit greens, and put the ball in the hole, so it helped, but it was just a really solid day. Duncan Bielner shoots one under par as a sophomore in his second varsity meet. I wouldn't have, you know, fathomed that happening. Mm-hmm. So for him to do that, he's a cool-headed kid. He just kind of doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and just plays his game. I think some of the other kids will need to follow that as well, you know, and just it's golf is so mental, and those young kids trying to teach them that mental side, and I think Duncan might already kind of have a step up on that side a little bit.
And then, like you mentioned, your team placed fifth in the Joslin Invitational yesterday at Fort Dodge, where you finished six shots behind Centennial a day after beating them by 16 strokes. And I know you're not making an excuse for them, but you mentioned how some of the guys played in the Briarwood Am over the weekend, so they did play 4 days in a row, and that had to wear on them a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, I know Drew, I talked to him on that first nine, and we started on the back nine was our first nine for all the kids, which are the hardest holes out there. And so, like I said, Drew was kind of missing some greens, wasn't quite in his groove, so I think he shot low 40, 41 or something on that first nine, which was the hardest part of the golf course, but Drew doesn't give up. He kept grinding, came back with a 37 on the other side, and, you know, Duncan Bielner, I think, was six over after the first four holes and then, you know, started getting on a roll of pars, and Evan just played solid all day. I don't know, he was just in the groove and mm-hmm. played great. Avon, same way, battled Jacob. So there's some holes out there that can beat you up, and if they let them beat you up, and there's days that if they don't beat you up, you shoot really good, and you shoot kind of okay, and we kind of shot okay. But I was still happy with it. 309, for some reason, Fort Dodge kind of gives us fits. All the years I've been doing this, mm-hmm. my teams never go up there and shoot their best. And it's just a difficult golf course and a different kind of course that we don't see a lot. So.
Well, that's a long trip up there, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, you did have two guys placed in the top 20. Evan took 10th with a 75, and Avon finished 20th with a 77. And I know you told me that Evan was playing the course for the first time. So, you know, that was a really impressive round.
Yeah, right. Like I said, four over, whether you played it 20 times or your first time, is a great score. So, I mean, hats off to him, and I hope he keeps it up.
Well, Drew currently leads your team with a 36.92 average, and that ranks 11th in the state. Avon is 22nd overall with a 37.58 average. And then Jacob and Duncan are tied for 44th with identical 38.58 averages. You know, so to have four guys in the top 50 in the state, I mean, you have to feel pretty good about, you know, that. And it gives you a chance to compete at every meet, I would think.
I do. And all those stats you're giving me are news to me because I don't try to look at that stuff too much. But yeah, it's nice to know, like I said, we're capable. I don't want anybody to get a big head because golf is golf and it can change, but we know what we're capable of. And so to have that confidence, I guess, early in the season is really good. We're going to play some tough teams. You know, we're going to see both the Waukee schools tomorrow and Centennial will be back there again. So it's going to be a battle all year long. And it's just golf is an up and down sport, but we know what we're capable of. So hopefully we save the best till the end, but we'll take the victories along the way as well.
Yeah, tomorrow you will play in that Waukee Northwest Invitational at the Legacy Golf Club, and Northwest is ranked third in the state, and the Wolves won that tournament yesterday with a 296, and they shot a 290 earlier this season, you know, in a triangular there against Centennial. So you definitely have your work cut out for you. I mean, they'd have to be the team to beat tomorrow, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Being their home course, Legacy is another one of those really tricky, really long, spread out. It's a long walk around there, so you get worn out. I think it's supposed to be in the 90s tomorrow, so it'll be a true test for us. Again, it's a new course for some of the guys. They haven't been over there to play. A couple of them went over and played a practice round. But, you know, just seeing it one time, you don't learn a whole lot. You kind of know which direction to go and how the hole looks, but you don't learn the nuances.
Right.
So Waukee's going to definitely have – both Waukee schools will have an advantage because they both play there a ton.
Well, six of the top 10 teams in Class 4A are from your new conference, led by number 2, Johnston. Now, I assume you'll see Johnston before your dual meet against them on September 22nd, right?
You know, I don't know for sure. I haven't looked at all of our invites to see who's in all of those. They don't come to our invite next week, so maybe they'll be at
Ames. Rick thought maybe they'd be at the Ames one.
The Ames one, possibly. So I'm not sure on that, but it'd be nice to see them before that, I guess, just to see what they're capable of too.
Sure. Well, yeah, the conference meet will be held on September 28th at Willow Creek, you know, and that's going to be a heck of a meet with all the great teams in your new league. I mean, that's almost going to be like a preview of the state meet, don't you think?
It will be. It will be. And I'm assuming that the state will try to send all of us different places, which makes it a challenge because we don't know where we're going yet. So again, to try to go play practice rounds, things like that. We have a general idea maybe between Council Bluffs and the blank sites, but we don't know for sure. But if they try to split us all up, then there's going to be some tough districts to get out of as well.
So right,
there might be some good teams sitting at home from the state tournament again.
Well, there are so many variables with that district meet, but from what you've seen thus far from your team, I mean, you got to feel good about your team's chances.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I never count us out. You know, my kids grind from year to year to year. We don't give up. Our goal is always to make it to state. Like I said, the wins and losses during the season are great. But our goal is to make it to state, and that's what we focus on. So I always think we have a chance with any group of kids I have because anything can happen. Somebody gets sick, somebody gets hurt on another team, or you just have a really bad day and you don't know why. So,
well, the state meet will be held on October 7th and 8th at Elmcrest Country Club in Cedar Rapids. So I'm guessing most of your guys haven't played that course. So will some of them, you know, try to get over there and play a practice round at some point?
We actually did. That was where Drew stepped up early on. Before school started, he took a group of guys over with a parent, and they played over there in a practice round. I think six of them went over and played. So they've seen that course. I don't know if it's the six that are going to be my varsity guys, but most of them have seen it. And sounds like it's a pretty straightforward course. Unfortunately, with the derecho a few years ago, kind of like the Marshalltown course, they lost a lot of trees, so it kind of opened that course up and made it a little easier than it used to be, I think. But it'll still be a good course to play.
Well, of course, Cedar Falls is the defending state champion, and they're ranked number one, and they also have the top two players in the individual rankings. And Coach Fee was just telling me a few minutes ago that they have all those guys back from that team, I guess. So, you know, they're going to be tough to beat at state, aren't they?
It is, and those are those those teams that we don't see a lot, we don't hear a lot about, unless you're a stat guy, which I, again, don't look at those too much. But there's a lot of good golfers in the state, and they're right around here, you know, and they're all fall golfers, so it'll be interesting, and it's tough every year. I mean, we just have kids that just can play golf, and they take with the simulators now, you can hit all winter, and we got kids, you know, that have them in their basement, so they just keep getting better and better. It's awesome.
with all the tough teams in your conference and all the tough competition that you guys face throughout the year, I mean, that's going to prepare you guys or any of the teams from your conference for state once they get there, I would
think. Yeah, like I said, I think early on when I talked to you, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So you might as well, I really don't want to cruise through the year beating everybody thinking we're all that, and then we meet the real deal down the road. So if we get beat some during the year, I think that's okay, and it keeps us hungry and makes us work every night instead of, you know, standing around chit-chatting.
Sure. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, my final guest tonight is a junior for the Hawks and the team's top player. He's already been a medalist and a runner-up in the first three meets of the season. He is Drew Henson. Drew, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, have you been happy with the way that you've played?
Yeah. Other than yesterday, I've been playing pretty good so far.
Well, you opened the season with a 73 to earn runner-up honors in the dual meet loss to Southeast Polk, and then you came back 11 days later and shot that 68 in the triangular against Centennial and Urbandale to earn medalist honors. So what has been the key to your success? Are you making a lot of putts, or is it just a matter of avoiding those big numbers?
I think especially at Otter Creek, you know, there's not a lot of trees, so you just got to keep it out of the water and out of the fescue. Of course, like yesterday, we played Fort Dodge Country Club. There's trees everywhere. You got to keep it straight. I think I've been putting pretty well, though. Driver's been a little bit of an issue recently, but working out on the range every night, trying to figure it out.
Well, Coach mentioned that you shot that 78 at the Fort Dodge tournament yesterday, and you kind of had to grind that round out. I mean, so how'd you feel about that round?
I just couldn't really get anything going at all yesterday. You know, started out with a few pars, ended up hitting driver. The first driver I hit all day was on the sixth hole. So put that one out of bounds. That doesn't feel very good to hit your first driver out of bounds, but just couldn't get any birdie putts to fall throughout the day. Had a lot of opportunities, just couldn't get anything to fall.
Well, in a long season, you're going to have a round like that every now and then, aren't you? Well, tomorrow you'll be going to the Legacy to compete in the Waukee Northwest Invitational, so you'll get another chance to play against the Wolves. What's going to be the key to having success on that course?
I think most of our team has seen the course. I think Duncan's the only one who hasn't seen it, so I've heard it's kind of a course that helps to see. It's a little longer, like Coach Wedingfeld said. But, I mean, I'd say probably keep it in the fairway. There's some tighter holes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of water, houses.
Well, I know you guys haven't seen Johnston yet. So would you say the Northwest is the best team that you've seen thus far?
Yeah, I think Northwest is probably the best team we've seen. I know they posted somewhere in the 280s earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Southeast Polk was pretty good. We lost to them early. They played really well against us. Centennial is really not bad either. They played pretty well against us. We just happened to have a pretty record-breaking day.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you feel like you guys showed with that score that you posted on Monday that you can compete with anybody in the state?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we got a lot of young guys on our team that have been working hard all summer. So I knew they had the ability to post scores like that. We just got to be able to go do it consistently.
Well, I know last year you just missed qualifying for state as an individual, and then the team also missed by just a few strokes. So I'm sure your goals for this year, you know, are for you and the team to both qualify for state, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, have you been surprised by how well, you know, some of those younger guys, you know, like Duncan have played? Did you know that they had that kind of potential?
I've been playing with them all summer, and I knew they had potential. I didn't quite know Duncan was going to shoot one under, but it certainly helped us.
For sure. Well, I know the four district sites have been announced, but you don't know yet, you know, where your team's going to be playing. And like Coach mentioned, you know, one of them is blank, which is really the only one that's around here. So you probably haven't played those other courses, have you?
I've played all of them except for the Council Bluffs course.
So do you have a preference as to where you guys go?
I think Coach Wedingfeld said he figured we'd either end up at blank or Council Bluffs, and the blank's probably going to be pretty tough to get out of. So I wouldn't mind a long drive to Council Bluffs.
Sure. Whatever it takes to get to stay, right?
Right.
Well, Coach mentioned that you took some guys over to play the Elmcrest course, the state meet course earlier. So what's your impressions of that course? I mean, what would be the key to being successful on that course?
The first time I played it was actually a couple weeks ago. So I didn't know what it looked like before the derecho, but it's not very tight, and it's not very long. You just got to keep it in the fairway, and it's a nice condition. So it's pretty scoreable.
Well, Coach mentioned that you have aspirations to play golf beyond high school. So have you started looking at some colleges yet?
I've been looking at colleges. I haven't really talked to any coaches yet, though.
Well, you're only a junior, so you got some time to figure that out, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, Drew, thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I think we figured out our technical difficulties from last week, and I apologize for those problems last week with our guest from the Ankeny volleyball team, that one did not turn out real well, but I think we got it figured out this week. So I want to thank my guests for coming in tonight. We had Rhonda Dix from Coldwell Banker, along with Ankeny Centennial Boys golf coach Rick Fee, and one of his players, Danny Paulson, and then we finished up with Ankeny coach Mike Weddingfeld and one of his players, Drew Henson. I appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. It's been a busy week, I know, for all those golfers. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.